I'm Izzy Rock, host of Tales from the Hard Side podcast, and you're listening to the Bad Parenting Podcast. Go rate, review, and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher.
Warning, the following auditory experience may contain themes of an adult nature. The opinions expressed are those of the podcasters and not of their respective employers, parents, and or legal guardians. Content may not be appropriate for children, small animals, work, and your mom. Enjoy the show. Diabetes.
Fucking pussy babies need to toughen the fuck up.
Of course, double stuffed.
I do like that.
Oh my fucking god, I shit myself.
Was I supposed to do show prep?
This could be a while.
Cafe smash.
Bad Parenting Podcast. We're all up in your mom.
I always swore I'd never beat my children.
I'm drinking some milk, bitches.
We had gourmet cheese. No, I know why. Nothing ever gets done in Hollywood.
Oh, awesome.
If only you could see the glare.
Hey, I'm Justin. No, that doesn't work either.
Oh my god, the smell. I hope you're ready for a clusterfuck of epic proportions.
Love your children while keeping your sanity. This is the Bad Parenting Podcast.
Yes, welcome to episode 128 of Bad Parenting Podcast. I'm Justin.
I'm Jody.
And we have two new co-hosts this week. If you hear any growling and or snarfling and or bickering in the background, that would be Rocket and Rose, the doggy formerly known as Hope. So long sorted story, we got a new dog. Rocket needed a companion, which we knew was going to probably happen anyways, and then this one kind of...
He was getting, like, anxiety when we were gone. Like, yeah. He was doing that whole, like, I won't eat, I won't lay down, I won't, like, yeah. Until somebody's here, I won't do anything.
Yep. Neurotic puppy. And so, the same people we got him from, their daughter was going off to Job Corps, and they had to get rid of her dog because she couldn't take it with her. And so I contacted them and said, hey, look, we've already gotten the one dog from you, we'll take her too if it works out. So we're on a trial run right now, but so far things are going swimming.
They love each other.
Yeah, there's a definite, defined love.
he loves her.
Because Rocket thinks he is a much, much bigger dog than he actually is.
And, he'd need a step stool.
Oh yeah, he needs one hell of a step stool because he's all about that bass. No treble. He's definitely testing out the hormones that male puppies get when they hit this age. Luckily, she's fixed, so we won't have any little
rockets.
Well, I say that, but
I know they'd be fucking adorable.
They would be adorable puppies. These two mixed together would be pretty damn cute.
Yeah.
But either way, Rocket's getting some practice shots in, and I got to give him an A for effort. He really gives it the gusto, and complete with little growls and whatnot and everything. I mean, he really tries to, you know, shore the business, and he just doesn't got much business to show, so. And then she just kind of looks at him like, really? Like, if there is ever a doggy look for is it in yet, that would be what's going on right now. She's just kind of sitting there, and when she gets tired of it, she just puts a paw onto the head and thunk onto the ground and goes. So, but yeah, if you hear any
it looks
sensual...
like they're starting to settle down.
Yeah, I was going to say, but if there's any sensual growling in the background, it's not me and Jody. It is the dogs. So yeah, I think that's probably the most like exciting thing we've had for the week. It was the
Tempe was sick,
right? She had a sinus infection. She has a sinus infection that we're working through now.
Something else happened. Something else did.
Well, I didn't want to. I did not want to label that under exciting.
Oh well, okay, you're right. It's not exciting, and I'm sitting here like, what happened? Yeah. What happened? Oh, yeah, my grandmother's dying.
Yeah, your grandma's in her final stages of life, as it were.
She went. She moved to hospice care on Thursday night.
Was it Thursday?
Yeah.
What's today? Saturday. I thought it was last night.
No, she moved on Thursday.
Oh yeah, she moved Thursday. You guys visited her last night
because it happened on Monday.
Yeah. Yeah. So she had a bladder infection that went systemic.
Yeah.
And it just looks like...
Well, they think... Now they're saying that they think she had a stroke.
Well, it could have all been predicated by this. Who knows?
Right. But on at some point on Monday morning, she... Or Monday or Tuesday morning, I don't remember which. she was talking with my aunt, and then my aunt went in the other room. And when she came back, she thought that my grandma was playing possum because she didn't want to go to the dentist. Because she kind of acts like a toddler sometimes. And she had been saying she didn't want to go to the dentist. So she was kind of slumped with her head down, sitting at the kitchen table. My aunt thought she was playing possum. So she went over and kind of was like, wake up. You're being silly. Wake up. And she was just asleep. She was breathing and everything, but and she hasn't opened her eyes since.
She hasn't come out of it. Yeah.
She's so, breathing. She's somewhat responsive, like, but.
That is karma. Because now your aunt gets to live with the fact that she just thought her mom was fucking with her, but she was actually in the throes of death. And this is and we're not joking about this at all. I mean, we hear us kind of chuckling and whatnot, but like we've said before, we've got a very realistic view on life and death. And
what's comforting to know is so does she.
Right.
She was an RN for
a long
years. She really, that's why she already knew and had made us know what she wanted when this happened. Like, don't poke me, don't fill me with tubes and wires.
Yeah.
Like, just, and actually there's not an official DNR because those can sometimes cause problems with getting care that you do need.
Oh, yeah.
So, we had that happen with my great-grandmother. They had a DNR, but they didn't have it with them. And the hospital wouldn't perform any action until they had a copy of it. It was really weird. So after that, she ripped up her DNR and just said, gave my mom medical power of attorney.
Right.
And said, you know.
So basically, if you have a DNR, carry that bitch on you.
Yeah, if you choose to have a DNR, please actually, yes, carry it with you
make sure that whoever needs it knows where they can get it quickly.
Or have a medical alert bracelet that lays out what your wishes are, like right there, because it gets really complicated and hospitals are due for so much liability that they just can't risk it.
This is where I've always been really, I guess, proud of Oregon for the Death with Dignity Act that we have. It's still not perfect.
Right.
But I've never understood the concept of my dog is in immense pain, and right now it's about comfort and quality of life, not about keeping said animal alive. Therefore, if the quality of life is diminished past a certain point, it's more humane to send them on than it is to make them live out their years and blah, blah, blah. But with our fellow humans, for our own personal, for lack of a better term, benefit, we will keep them alive well past, you know, the expiration date, no pun intended, and do all sorts of wonky shit because of the liability issues and the fear of being sued, et cetera, et cetera, and also because of our own selfish inability to want to let go kind of a thing.
I can appreciate why people keep people alive longer, especially in scenarios where there might be the hope of recovery. In this scenario,
right,
there is no hope of recovery at this point.
But I you say that, I go back to the Terry Schiavo case.
Yeah.
There was a very clear determination of what she wanted and what the end results were supposed to be, and her husband was trying to execute that, and the parents
blocked it. Well, and I think that's more an argument to make sure you have one person legally designated by you, not by the assumption of law, but in writing saying this
is the person that. But I'm still willing to bet that there would be ways for them to work around that, or at the very least to do like temporary injunctions and whatnot. And
that's my fewer. Thing.
Is like, there are, but the point being is that the mentality we have.
But in that case, what was happening is her husband was saying, I know her wishes, and her wishes were thus. But her parents, she didn't make it known to her parents well enough that if those were her wishes, that's what they were. And they were like, well, we have more right to control what's going on than you do.
Right. But that goes back to that is a perfect example of how their selfishness for want nine. I don't ever want to have to go through this, knock on wood, but not wanting to let go of their child, not being able to, they were not seeing the forest through the trees. They were not seeing the fact that yes, there was a husk there, but literally whatever they knew as Terry was no longer existent.
Right.
And I feel it's actually more abusive to keep, what are you keeping alive, honestly? Mm-hmm. And that's where you kind of roll into this whole religion started messing with this stuff. There's all these things that have played into this that have caused us all these problems, because it just baffles me that I can go, my dog should not be sitting there with somebody wiping its ass and having, you know, all this pain and whatnot. So I'm going to humanely put it down, but I would have a hell of a time humanely putting you down. And I'm, you know, I'm just saying, you know,
please, please humanely put me down.
But it's one of those things that,
yeah. And I've made it very clear to all of my, even the people that I know would disagree with that action. I've made it clear that I know what I want.
Right.
And, you know, I would not like to live that life.
Yeah.
So, and so does she. So she made that very clear. She didn't want tubes and wires and whatnot. So she's, we were being given the option, as from the family was being given the option to have trach tubes and feeding tubes, right, and stuff put in. And, we declined that, but then the hospital declined to do any further medical treatment at all, even,
mm-hmm,
hydrating her.
Right. Well, and so that's where I, like, so if you are a young, virile person, you get in a bad car accident and you need trach tube, feeding tube, whatnot, right, to recover.
Right.
That's okay.
If they think you're going to pull out of it, or there's, like, there's a legitimate chance,
medically proven legitimate chance that you're going to pull out of it, then, you know, that's fine. But, like, if I'm pushing 90 and I fall down, I bust my chops, and then I'm, like, comatose, and it looks like I'm pretty much just on my way out. I'm not, like you said, I don't want to live that life of something breathing for me. And,
yeah.
Because, like, what kind of quality of life am I going to have after that?
Yeah.
And I watched it time and time again, because with my ex, her grandfather had the stroke.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, stayed, like, he was there and he was himself, but he wasn't.
Yeah.
And nothing was quite right after that. And he had more falls and more injuries and more issues after the fact, because, mm-hmm, his motor and cognitive skills were diminished. And it's like, was that really the best option? Because, okay, so he was kept alive longer, but I know for a fact nobody went up and saw him more.
Yeah.
Nobody went up and visited him more. So was it really for his benefit? Or was it so everybody else could sleep well at night knowing that they didn't, quote-unquote, kill Grandpa? I'm serious. You know? That's, yeah. And I get kind of harsh about it, but it's like, for me, it's, once again, it goes back to the common sense realities of just that, if it's that time, and yes, we have all these great medical advancements, and there's so many things we can survive now that we couldn't before, but no matter what, we are on a limited time clock, and we don't know when ours is set to expire. Everybody's a little bit different based on how they live, and shit can happen.
Yeah.
So
she's going to stay in this hospice care facility until she passes, which they have not given her a long time.
Right. We're looking at probably, like, literally it could be Monday. Yeah. It could be tomorrow.
Yeah. Any time.
Yeah. My hope is that it, for whatever she's experiencing, it's as painless and peaceful and blissful as that particular, you know, progression can be.
Well, we kind of dedicated as a family to not let her ever be alone.
Mm-hmm.
So, my mom, has been there. My aunt has been there. My uncle, my sister and I, or my cousin,
right,
and I were, there last night. So.
Yeah.
There's quite a few people who aren't apparently going to make it in. I'm not going to name names, but I feel pretty vindicated in my general hatred of people.
Right. Well, the true colors are showing.
Right.
That, you know, and realistically, then we get into the whole ulterior motive side of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to sound crass to our listeners because they don't understand all of the backstory, but this is the absolute best thing that could possibly happen for this family.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all the bickering and fighting over finances and who's going to get the most of her money and blah, 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 blah. And, well, somebody here is trying to build a house for her, quote unquote, mm-hmm, that really is going to go to them when she passes. All of that is for naught, because it's going to get locked in. There's no more changes that could possibly happen to this whole family trust thing. Everybody's going to get their peace, and everybody technically should just be able to move on. There's nothing else that can be argued at this point.
I really hope that it stops the bickering. Yes.
So I think there's still going to be, we're not at the light at the end of the tunnel yet. Yeah. There's going to be some further bickering. But once she literally passes, they can't do anything else to that document, to that particular thing. It's got to be split up and laid out as it is. And then from there, what people do on their own, the rest of the family doesn't have to agree with it, but it's now no longer their business because it's now become separated into the every child's different stuff. And hope to God that I don't have to hear about it anymore.
Yeah.
And like I said, that sounds super crass, but it's one of those things that just, it, I am so...
It's funny, though, because I think she likes the people bickering over her.
Oh, I'm sure. She's sadistic like that. Your grandma is weird. I'm not going to lie. Your grandma, I met her later on in her life, and she's always been a sweet...
She's always... known her sane. She's always been a little senile since you've known her.
But she's... But here's my thing, is that I from what I've known, what I've met about her, and what I've seen, is she's the sweet little old lady that you have to watch your back with, because she's only a sweet little old lady on the outside, but she's literally like the puppeteer in the background cackling as she's causing all these things to happen. And you know, I think that I honestly in some ways could see that being me if I got old enough. Like, if you ain't got shit else to do, and you know your kids are all...
She was such a hard worker. She dedicated a lot of time and effort into making sure she provided well for her kids and her grandkids. And when she retired, she just really got in everybody's business and just...
Yeah. Well, but part of that's a generational thing, too. Yeah. Like, we were talking about that tonight, about like with something that happened with one of our acquaintances through family, who I guess came into our driveway last night, thanks dogs, and parked and was just like scoping out our house.
Yeah, like she says, I drove by your house last night. Did you notice my car in the driveway? I'm like, well, I wasn't there because I had left earlier to go to the hospice center. And she's like, yeah, I just parked there and looked around and kind of looked around and saw if you guys were all moved in. I'm like, are you admitting to my face that you were like stalking my house? Because that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, no, it's not really weird. I'm like, no, it's totally weird.
Yeah, it's gotten to the point now where between that and then these people that seem to think that our driveway is the public turnaround on the street.
Yeah, it's an extra wide driveway, so people, when they turn down the street, realize it's a dead end. They'll just use our driveway to back out and go the other way. Which,
under normal pretenses and circumstances, I wouldn't care. But my kids are often out in that driveway playing, and they don't always look first before they come barreling into the damn driveway. Yeah. So the gate that's supposed to go across the driveway, the funding for that is becoming more of a higher priority for me, so that we can have it installed so that people won't just, you know, that, or just like a retractable spike strip that I can just hit a button and it automatically deploys in the middle of the night.
I was thinking of those things they have in the UK that like hydraulically lift the little spikes up into the, not spikes, but the pillars.
Or you can get those little installed tire poppers in the ground, or when we back out of the driveway, it'll fold them down, but then they're automatically up, but you can still disable them and they will fold down when you need to come back in. Something, because it's just one... I don't turn around people's driveways. Like, I've done, and the few times that I've had to do it, I legit feel bad. Like, I almost want to get out of my car, knocking out the person's door and go, I'm really sorry about that. Because I'm of the opinion of, that's somebody else's house, that's their property, that's their domicile. I look at it like a castle with a moat around it. That is theirs. I have no business being there. I was not invited. Therefore, I'm just going to stay the fuck off
of it. I don't have quite as strict an opinion on it. But I also don't believe you should routinely make use of somebody else's driveway, which is what our neighbor is doing.
Yeah.
Whoever it is that drops them off every single time.
Yeah.
They use our driveway to back turn around, and they don't need to. There's an entire street.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too, is that like, this one lady that does it like on a daily basis.
Yeah.
It's because she can't figure out how to back up and into a street and then turn her car around. So it goes back to a long-standing bitch of mine that I've had, is that there should be a not just a driving test and a driver's skills test, but when you go buy a car, there should be a test you have to take. Show me you can maneuver this vehicle in a parking lot. Now show me you can parallel park it. Now show me you can, oh, you can't do that? I'm sorry, you can't buy the fucking thing. You now get a Volkswagen, you get a Pinto, you get a fucking Fiat, a Yugo, right? You get one of those little roller skate cars. That's all you're qualified for because you can't park anything else. You know, you want to drive the big ass 22-foot F-350 one-ton beast, you damn well be able to park the fucking thing without scraping it up and taking 42 attempts to you know, back it in. And so, yeah, it just, it, there's no need, there's no excuse for them to be in our driveway. When my kids are out there playing, there's really no excuse for it. And we have one neighbor, she's always very cognizant. Like, even when she's coming down the street, she's like, are you kids? Are they stopped? I'm like, yeah, they're stopped. Go ahead. She's like, okay. And I'm, that's awesome. At least she's, you know, showing a little neighborly love there. Yeah. But, these other ones, it's just like, what, you don't. Stop. Get the fuck off my driveway. And like you said, there's no need for it. And that's the part that bothers me. Like, if this was, you know, a one-way street that was maybe 6 feet wide, there was no way to turn a vehicle around in the street. Okay, fine. I can be okay with you turning around my driveway. But when I can literally do damn near cookies in my Highlander on this street, there is no excuse that you and your little Honda Accord or your Geo Metro need to put any part of your fucking car in my driveway. It's, you're just a shitty driver. Get the fuck away from me. So, yeah. How did we get from,
I don't know,
the driving or the death to the driving?
I don't know.
So
we're the masters of Segway.
Like the most fucked up and random ones too. So, but yeah, it just, I don't, people piss me off. It's just,
people piss me off too.
And it just needs to, they just, yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna yawn again.
No, you yawned.
Oh gosh, I'm sorry.
And you got to sleep in and everything.
I know. It's because I'm really tired.
So we do have some housekeeping to do here.
Oh,
We have listeners that we need to congratulate.
Yes.
Nikki from New Zealand and her now husband, John,
yeah,
have gotten married.
I know. It's
and so exciting. I saw the pictures on Facebook today. So fanfare. Burp, 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 or something like that, right?
Because they're in the future, right? They're not in the past.
Right.
Okay. I got to figure out what actual date they're official, because I could have sworn. Okay,
so there literally is an app for that.
I keep hitting the microphone.
Oh, stop doing that, because I can't always hear them without my headphones right now. So let's see here. There's an app for that. So if we go toward the clock and we add, well, in Auckland, it is now tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. So it's the 18th.
Okay, so they got married on the 18th, which is the day before my birthday.
Right.
So that's not cool. No.
Yeah, you were supposed to wait for Jody's birthday. Gosh, what kind of fans are you?
But somebody is doing that. Who's getting married on my birthday?
Maybe that's Killa the following year?
Killa
and Donna?
Maybe. I could have
Or maybe you're
was...
just so full of yourself
no,
that you
yeah, that's it. I'm so sure. I could have swore somebody was getting married on my birthday. Oh, well. I mean, like I said, it's not... I'm not like... Or maybe it was the day before and I was saying... Anyway... Everybody should get married on my birthday because it's the best day and it's National Talk Like a Pirate Day.
But would it be the best day if everybody did everything on there and it was no longer your special day?
You know what? It's not really that special of a day anyway. Like, the more the merrier.
So, yeah. So, back to the puppy thing. She's now asleep.
Good.
So, yeah. When we first... We got this dog and we found out her name was First Hope, which... I was originally going to keep, and then I started thinking about it, and you started thinking about it. It's like, well, it's kind of more of a, it's really like, it's like a real human name.
Yeah.
And then, like, we legitimately have an acquaintance named Hope, and then, like, other stuff. And then the people that had her before us, their daughter named her Razelle. And I'm like,
R-A-Z-E-L-L-E.
Yeah. And I'm like, so would you, like, just not know how to spell gazelle, and you did it wrong? I mean, like, what the hell? And I tried it a few times, and I just couldn't see myself, like, chasing her out of the street going, Razelle, because... White boy, shaved head.
Do you think they were
fairly ethnic?
Do you think it was Razzle?
No, I heard him pronounce it at the house. It was Razelle.
Okay,
yeah,
just making sure.
No, yeah, it was most definitely pronounced Razelle. So then we started flowing through names, and of course we got Ralph at the raccoon over there. So we were trying to.
I'm trying to think of
like geeky names.
Geeky and names. I'm like, what was that? What was that like space otter that he was all in love with? But that name didn't really fit and fit her. And we tried Buffy.
Yeah.
We tried Willow.
Right.
But nothing was working. Nothing was a fit.
She did respond quite well to Buffy, but yeah. I just felt
it was weird.
It was weird saying it.
Yeah.
So then we thought like Rose, you know, the Ninth Doctor's first companion, or only companion, the Tenth Doctor's first companion, and it was close enough to Roselle that you can kind of make it sort of sound have the same cadence. And so far, it's been working, and she seems to have imprinted on me. So you got your dog finally, and then this one's back to being mine. So,
yeah,
and she's a good car dog too. Because like, other than she doesn't want to get in the car initially, because I think she thinks you're taking her somewhere to get abandoned. Because she was abandoned she's at been one that point.
Way a couple times.
Yeah. Otherwise, once she's in the car, she lays down. She's all chill and whatnot.
And she was asleep, and you touched her, and she was asleep. Like,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, she was totally out. She jumped when you touched her.
Sorry, sweetheart. I was giving her a little scratch behind the neck there. So. And the kids, of course, are all enamored that we've got another dog, and they're still doing the same damn thing they do. So we have this problem with the younger two that they feel that the dog is their own personal
stuffed animal.
Yeah. And so they want to be like all up in their business. And thankfully, both these dogs have been they've been vocal about their displeasure. They've not actually snapped or bit either one of them.
No.
But they'll both grumble and growl. And then, of course, I hop on the dog a little bit and I'm like, no, you can't do that, just to show that they're not above the kids in the pecking order. But then I have to get in the kids' case, too, because they just won't. It's like a nonstop barrage. Like, there's just this constant overload of attention and wanting to give loves and whatnot. When one kid tires of it, the next kid's already on it. And then so they just don't get a break and their little brains start to zerk. So we're working that out, but it worked really well for Rocket because a few times we've come home from being out for errand or whatever, while he still barks and is happy to see us, he doesn't have the whole 15-minute cool down freak out.
It's taking that 15 to 20 minutes for him to stop just shaking.
Yeah. And he has to nuzzle you the whole time while you're doing it too. So it's been very good. And as part of this deal too, we got her for free. We got her crate for free. And they gave us an extra crate they had just laying around for Rocket. So he's got his own crate now. And so now we're actually able to crate train him for when we're gone and whatnot. And even that helped calm him down quite a bit today too. He was doing a lot better with that. So, but yeah, it's been an interesting week with animals and dogs and my work schedule kind of being all crazy with just different trips and whatnot and getting stuff done. And
then Tempe. And then, going to school on Thursday and Friday. Yep. And, yeah, it's been a whirlwind week.
Yeah, it has. It's been crazy. So it's just busy, busy, busy. Life's busy with the whole back-to-school adjustment and whatnot. When she first got sick, I'm like, oh, man, I am not ready for the back-to-school diseases.
I know.
Like the plague that comes home with them every time. But then it was a sinus infection. I felt bad inside. I'm like, woohoo, because I'm not going to get it. But at the same time, like, we're looking into it now. We got to go to an ENT because we think she might have the same problem that you have.
Yeah.
Where her bicalcium carbonate, turbinates, whatever you call them.
Bicalcium carbonate.
They're not, the sinus cavities aren't properly formed. So they have to go in there and do a Roto-Rooter procedure with a drill bit and do some
That's some actually fancy remarkably footwork. Accurate.
Yeah, it's like a giant drill. They just
actually looks more like a bottle brush.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah. So what you're saying is I got all the equipment out in the garage to do this for a much cheaper price. Well, it's
like a microscopic bottle brush.
I could shave it down. I got those little battery terminal protector cleaners. I could probably make this work.
But yeah, it's I'm hoping that that's not what we need to do, but knowing she's from always past had experience, she's a mouth breather.
Yeah, she literally is. She's always had a problem breathing through her nose. Her sinuses don't drain properly. And even when you get her to give you a good blow, like sorry, that sounded weird.
Can you edit that out? Like
when she's blowing her nose and you get her to give you a good blow on it and she's really putting some pressure behind it, like nothing comes out still. But then you can hear like all the stuff getting bubbled around and whatnot, but nothing ever actually evacuates the nose. And so I think she's just not, we need to figure out why. And it could be as simple as her adenoids need to come out.
Right.
That might be it too. We don't know. So hopefully it's the lesser of whatever the issues are so as to keep her from having as much recovery and whatnot, because love her to death, that bitch is psycho on pain meds.
Yeah.
like crazy. Like she's like, we can't even like do like a, those, like we were going to do one of those joking videos the last time she had some, and we can't even do those. It's like exorcist level shit. Yeah. Like her head starts to spin and fucking pea soup, and it's downright scary. So it's not something I want to put on video because there's nothing hilarious about it. It's just like, you know, you start getting the crucifix out and the holy water. And you're like, the power of Christ compels you. The power of, and you know, I don't even believe in this, but the power of fucking Christ compels you. Just stop. You know? Bed's trembling and shaking. The walls are like waving and whatnot, and it's like, ah, what the fuck is this? You know, bad. Yeah, it's a combination of The Exorcist and the what was that Indian burial ground movie from the '80s with a Steven Spielberg, I think, directed it. The little girl there, the
Poltergeist.
Is that Poltergeist?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Poltergeist. Sorry, I've seen it. And my brain's just not working. So. Yeah, it's like a combination of those two together, where I was like, you know, you got the Linda Blair from the Exorcist type, like, blah, 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 with like all the weird shit from Poltergeist, where like there's alternate dimensions when I happen, and you're like, just calm the fuck down, please.
She's not that bad. She just cries and screams a lot.
And like creates alternate dimensions and sure, time shifts reality. It's like TARDIS type level time travel and shit, so.
Whatever.
No, I do. All joking aside, it is one of those things where it's like, if you can get a good laugh out of some of your kids doing it and it's completely harmless, it's all fine and dandy. Like the kids that are like freaking out
with the wisdom teeth.
Did you see the one about the girl who had the she had her wisdom teeth pulled? She had the gas on her and she was freaking out because she can't handle the big black cock in her mouth.
Yeah.
And her mom was the one putting her in the car, and I'm watching. Yeah. It's like, oh God, that would be so fucking awkward.
Big black.
Yeah,
and she's like yelling at it.
And then she turned the BBC. I'm like, what?
And then she's in the little wheelchair. She starts pedaling her feet backward, and she runs away. She's trying to take me.
And I'm just sitting here thinking about, like, how as a parent would you handle your daughter yelling that she can't handle the big black? Like, have you tried this already? What the fuck? I don't know what's going on. So.
Yeah,
it's none of that. You just legitimately feel bad for her because she is so like fucking whacked out of it that she it's just terrifying to her. Yeah. So therefore, it's terrifying to you as a parent. And there's no good easy way to calm her down.
Well, when she had her eye surgery, afterward, and the guy is like, everything she's doing now is not predicated on reality. Like she's not actually in pain. She's got enough like she's just must be freaked out because of the pain medicine. And and he's like, you'll see this as she gets older. most people, if this is how they react on pain medicine, this is how they react on all kinds of substances.
Yeah, which makes me feel bad for her friends because she's gonna be that drunk.
She's gonna be the
one crying in the bathroom, corner crying of the bathroom, you know, freaking out and whatnot. Yeah. So it's all sorts of bad juju.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm hoping that all turns out okay. Let me write that note down real quick.
You seem confused.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to I was trying to catch up on my notes and keep talking at the same time, and I'm just not able to talk and chew gum right now.
You aren't.
Or walk and chew gum, or whatever the hell the saying is. As you can see, I'm not able to do it at this point in time. So, and my phone's not unlocking because of the new... Okay.
You updated your phone.
Yeah. I just want my notes, damn it. Okay. So, Trent busted out a legitimate "that's what she said" joke this week.
Yes.
And I didn't actually tell him this or anything else.
You didn't.
It was, for as much as I hate this term, organic. So we're in the kitchen, and I don't remember what the hell Temperance was talking about, but she was rambling on about something, and she at the end of the, towards the end of whatever it was she was describing, she was, it starts out small and it ends up big, and Trent sits there and goes, "That's what she said," and like had a little giggle and everything, and I stopped, and I looked at him, and he looks at me with a big grin on his face, and I looked at him like, wait, you legitimately just... And then I lost it. I started cracking up. And then he starts laughing too. And then Ezra's like, "What's so funny?" And I explained it to him. He's like, "Oh, you must have said it first." I'm like, "No, he beat me to it. Like I was literally going there, but he beat me to the punch." And so I'm like, "God damn, he listens to it a lot more and processes a lot more than we give him credit for." Because he got the, I don't know, he doesn't get the innuendo, of course, but he gets the whole.
Like, cadence of
there's
things.
Certain things that are said, like, well, there's a, that's what she said, and so I'm like, now I'm looking forward to, like, oh boy, what's he gonna be like doing in kindergarten when she's trying to teach a geography lesson or something like that?
Oh, yes, I can't wait.
So, that kid, he's the crazy one. Talk while I'm trying to take notes.
I'm sorry. What do you want? You were in the middle of saying a sentence. If you would wait until I said something and then start writing, it would make sense.
This is true.
So. You're the idiot here, not me.
I didn't say that you were the idiot. I was just saying, yeah, anyways.
Whatever.
So we have some more housekeeping. We have a listener voicemail.
Why do you call it housekeeping like it's a bad thing?
No. Like, it's just like, we got to... It's one of those things
you could say we have a voicemail, but you say we've got some housekeeping, which is an extra step
in
the explanation that makes it sound like a bad thing.
Okay. I will.
Oh, sorry, I don't like housekeeping, so I'm
No, it's for me, it's one of those things that, like, when you're doing the show and whatnot, and we love the listener interaction we have, and we would love to have more, but because it's not a true regular part of the show, we don't get in the habit of...
Maybe it's because you call it housekeeping, like you're annoyed.
Possibly. Touche.
See?
Either way, we don't have a, like, voicemail segment of the show where, we do stuff like that, so I always forget sometimes. There's been legitimate times where I've forgotten to play the voicemails. And
you say legitimate a lot.
Legit. It's like literally.
It is. It's literally. You're literally.
Yeah. Right? I was going to watch that now. Anywho, we have some voicemail.
Yay!
Or a voicemail. Some voicemail. We have voicemail. And Google transcript is pretty awesome.
I know. I did see the Google transcript.
But it's from Mr. Tomorrow over at the Mediocre Show. Maybe. Oh, no. Stop. It's not working right.
You updated your phone.
No, I had it on the wrong output. Let's try that again. Try that one more time.
Hey, guys.
Really? Oh, that is not at all going to work. Hold on here.
Nope.
That's really how loud you're going to be about. Oh, my God. Let's try this one more time.
Hey, guys, Derek tomorrow. I'm out on a run. Listening to the newest show, and I just thought it was funny, so I gave you a call. The story about Ezra and the uniforms. The one thing that struck me is, who the fuck needs 5 pairs of pants for a week? What in the world, you fancy-ass motherfuckers, washes pants after every wearing? Or am I just a savage? Maybe I'm a savage, but I certainly don't fucking do that. If I wash them once a week, I'm doing pretty good. Oh, unless I spill something on it. Maybe he spills a lot. Thanks for the motivation. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay.
Hold on.
Stop.
I think it was saying make it stop at the end there, because it, like, wasn't hanging up on him. So, go ahead. You're going to say something.
Before we got together, I was very much like Mr. Tomorrow, and I would rewear clothes, usually in the 2 to 3 times range, very rarely more than that.
Right.
I also would reuse a bath towel. All these things that I would do, I thought it was normal. And then I met you, and you're like, no, that's totally not normal. You don't do that ever. Any of these things, you wash everything every time, and you are like, I talked myself into how unnormal I was, and then I go on longer in my life to find out that most people, you're that, Justin is the abnormal one, but all the kids are like very entrenched in this you wear it once kind of mentality. So it's too late. We've indoctrinated them into your way of thinking.
No, I will personally reuse a pair of pants, like if it's jeans. Mm-hmm. I try not to wash them because it breaks them down quicker.
Right.
The type of slacks that I normally buy for myself, for my work and whatnot, they're not the dry cleaning style. They're not that jazz. I buy them and they wash. They look like they're always dry clean because they have some sort of like magic wizardry in the fibers that keep them from wrinkling and whatnot, which I love. I fucking hate iron. But those I tend to usually only wear twice before I have to wash them. And mostly for me, it's because I am a slovenly slob when I eat, and I inevitably always get something on my clothes.
Yeah.
So I can't go usually more than one wearing on like my nicer stuff, because it'll actually be a stain that'll set, that'll permanently ruin those things. Also, part of it is like with, I've got super oily skin. Mm-hmm. And so if I don't wash things every day, then like my white t-shirts will literally turn yellow at the collar from the just the grossness. And I inherit this from my father.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it.
And my mom, I didn't say,
say legitimately, yeah. You said literally. Yeah, so but you're telling the line, mister.
When my parents met, and my mom first visited the bachelor pad, she thought my dad's sheets were this kind of like god awful brownish yellow. Like why would somebody buy that color of sheets? That's just gross. Then she was doing some housework for him, and she decided to be nice and wash his sheets for him and whatnot, and they came out white. And then she's like, and from that point forward, like, she's religious about her, like, her sheets are changed once a week and this and that and all that. So that's where, that was the environment I grew up in, because, yeah. And plus my dad, like, his job is so damn dirty.
Yeah.
Crawling under houses and whatnot, all that. You have to wash the clothing every day.
Yeah. And I don't mind how you do things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, I thought, here is this fancy motherfucker who washes his clothes every day. Like, so, yeah.
Yeah, and like, for, like, the bath towel thing.
No, I actually, so.
Legitimately, I
grew up in a house where you wash your bath towel, like, once a week.
Ooh.
Yeah, and looking back on it, it's gross to me. Ooh. Like, so gross.
That's like, okay, so you know how they always say you never go ass to mouth? That's more or less what you're doing every time you wash your,
but you're dry not, your face. Because I was trained to use one side for your face and one side for your body.
And how do you tell the two sides apart?
There's ways. No. For instance.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
When I was 9, my parents went to Hawaii and bought us all these big fancy beach towels. And one side said Hawaii and one side didn't.
Okay. In that case, I get it. But like,
but that's what I use. Because you used it multiple times, when you only washed it, when you washed it, it was clean again. Like, it wasn't like you didn't have to rotate.
At most, because I've come to the point now where I hate doing towels as much as I have to.
Yes,
I will. Because I shower twice a day.
You don't typically do the towel laundry.
Oh, I do. No, I you would do a lot more of it if I didn't chip in from time to time and do it. So I shower twice a day, I will get a new towel in the evening, use it once more in the morning, and then that's it. That's the most I'll do it though. Yeah. But it's just like the reusing, I mean, yeah. And there's no guarantee just because you use one side of the towel that the
other, but I'm just saying you are supposedly clean when you use it.
Right.
It does go into
there is some chance there, but exactly how well do you wash your asshole?
I wash my asshole quite well, thank you. Every damn time.
That was not a critique. That was not a critique of your butthole health. That was just generally for the listeners, they can make their own decisions. Like, if they legitimately, like, you know, do the whole hike the foot to the side of the thing there and, like, go in deep in the undercarriage and really get a good scrub going and then rinse out, that's not as bad. But, like, if you're one of those Wookiee-ish style men that might have a dingleberry problem and you're not as good about cleaning up, you're probably not going to want to take the brown side of the towel once or more than one. You know, and definitely don't do brown. That's because you'll never be able to tell make sure your towels are anything but brown, because you won't be able to tell what the fuck is going on. So, yeah.
You're gross.
No, I'm just saying.
You're gross.
A week. I couldn't.
And I'm exaggerating.
No, I know.
But you also take 2 showers a day.
Well, for me, it's not. There's so many times where I just don't want to. I don't want to have to take that second shower. But if I don't, I know that I immediately get a breakout. And to be 34 years old and look like, you know, that zit-ridden kid from The Simpsons, like, you want fries with that? You know, it's not. I just. So I have no choice but to take a certain number of showers per day because of the fact that I've got this nice, super oily skin. Like, it's just, it's my cross to bear, I guess. So no, we're not fancy ass motherfuckers, and
yes you are,
and we're also, you're not a savage, with somewhere in the middle between you and us. That's probably the normal way of operating. But then again, I have to go back to one of your previous shows where you were talking about the way you wash yourself, and Hope was like, no you don't do it that way, and you're like, oh fuck, I've never been clean in my life, you know? So he's also a stinky hormonal teenage boy. And there's just this
Ezra, not...
Right. No, Ezra is, yeah. So there's just this smell about him.
Well, that's true.
And so if we don't wash the clothing, then... And we don't want him to be the stinky boy at school.
Well, I think, unfortunately, he's probably going to get that moniker regardless, right. But...
We've done everything within our power as parents to avoid that.
Yeah.
The rest is on him at that point. But also, he's inherited my ability to wear whatever he eats.
Oh yeah,
and so we have to make sure.
I couldn't even get him all the way from the he didn't even eat breakfast, and he got toothpaste all over his blue shirt the other day.
Look at that, trying to figure out what
he's got white splatter all over almost, the front of his shirt, and I'm like,
For a second there, I'm getting a little upset. Like, were you doing a bleach load? Because you know, we don't let him handle the bleach.
Yeah,
for that exact reason. Yeah. I'm like, if you fucking bleach splattered your polo shirt that we just bought you for school, I am going to just hoof you in the nuts. And then I scraped it and it flecked off. I'm like, let me guess, you did your usual thunk 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 on the side of the sink with your toothbrush.
Which he learned from you.
Not the way he does it, because I hold mine down so the splay goes into the... Once again...
I'm just saying.
The whole... I had a roommate way back when at some point, or not, it wasn't my roommate, it was somebody's roommate. I went to take a piss in the bathroom, and there was black mold on his toothbrush.
I just took a drink while you were saying that.
Sorry.
And you are so lucky that it didn't end up all over the floor.
That's what she said. But, yeah.
That didn't even make sense.
No, it didn't. It was a horrible attempt to try to one-up my 4-year-old that whipped me at it earlier this week. So. But, yeah, it just... moisture and a moist toothbrush, and it needs to. But then again, I'm also the person, like, I guess you're supposed to change your toothbrush like once a month or once every 3 weeks or whatever it
three
is.
3 months.
See, that's where I'm kind of gross. Like, I don't think about it, and I usually wait till like the bristles
are, like,
are so filleted to the side, but they're really like brushing my cheeks more than they are my gums or my teeth because of the way they're pointed. And it's like, oh, I need a new one of these. I'll chuck it and grab another one. So I guess that's my, you know, dirty towel, reusable thing. So, but speaking of Ezra and being asses and whatnot. He made a complete ass of himself tonight.
Again.
Right. How much of that did you catch?
Not much. I came in and you were already berating him about when was the last time you actually did a... When we moved, we revamped the chore structure to where he doesn't do half as much as he used to, because I felt like the little kids are old enough to start pitching in.
Yeah, it wasn't that we were overloading him. It's that there's now more able-bodied people to take on the workload.
Right.
So we're splitting it out, and we're making people more now. Basically, it's become a more consolidated type thing where each person is really more responsible for their own individual stuff. Like, Tempe is doing her own laundry now.
Right.
And Trent...
Trent is being responsible for putting his dirty laundry in the appropriate location. And then Ezra is supposed to wash it with his, because Ezra very rarely has a full load of laundry when it needs to get done.
Unless he pulls the classic, leave the towels in with it and then leave it in his room for 2 weeks while he's gone at his mom's house.
Right.
And you've been trying to figure out what that funky smell in the house is. And you finally walk upstairs one time and it hits you like, oh, fuck. And then you open the door to his bedroom. It's like,
yeah.
Because it's mildewy, moldy, gross teenage boy. And there's really no good way to, like, describe that smell. Because it's like...
The color brown.
Yeah. It really is. It's just kind of like... That scene from Tangled, it's so gnarly. And we've actually had to throw away one of the shirts one time because it had black mold in it.
He had it in there next to a wet towel and it got moldy. So at any rate, I walked in to the conversation midway through this.
Yeah.
You know, like, and he's like, well, I did right before I went to mom's, which by the way was almost a month ago.
Yeah. But my question to him was, when was the last time you had a full set of dishes that you had to do, like, empty the dishwasher and do dirties, blah, blah, blah. And he brought it all out there. And so basically the point I was making to him at that point in time was that just what you said, we've lightened the workload, we've shifted the workload.
Well, what he said was, when you asked him how long has it been, he said, well, the day before I went to mom's last time for 2 weeks at the end of summer. And I'm thinking back, I'm like, motherfucker, do you realize that's been a month?
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, he's like, but I did it all the days before that. I'm like,
right.
No, you didn't. I haven't, even when you were gone on your work trips, I didn't make him do the, I've been at the very least either loading or reloading mm-hmm. every single time. That way he doesn't get overloaded because I feel it is important for him to not feel worked to death.
Right. Even though he's not.
Even though he's not.
But we're trying, you know, because like he said, we have to give more responsibilities to the younger guys now because they are now older.
And I would never tell him this to his face, but he is so bad at it that I'd rather do it myself anyway.
On the dishes, yeah. This is true.
And the laundry. I just can't stand it being wrong anymore. Like, yeah. The towels aren't getting washed appropriately because he just can't seem to remember that towels get washed on hot and not cold.
Yeah.
You know, it just, these little things that have been piling up for a long time and I just simply didn't have the time to worry about it. I'm like, you know what? I've got to nip this in the bud. I can't handle it anymore. Yeah.
So what happened was I was in the kitchen. They had been coloring at some point, and he had put his stuff away, his coloring book and the crayons that he had used back in the big multi 242 billion crayon case they have.
Mm-hmm.
And Temperance had not. And I had heard him ask her at one point to put them away, and she said, okay, yeah, I'll do that in a second. And then she forgot about it. And I guess he had asked her three times to do it, and then it didn't happen, which is fine. That's an understandable. That is a legitimate gripe.
Yeah.
Because she does need to clean up after herself. But I stepped in because I had her do something else, and I said, okay, I need you to go get a shower now because it's almost bedtime, and we need to get you guys cleaned up. So I sent her off to the shower, and I turned around and asked Ezra to clear the table and get it wiped down for me while I was doing the dishes. And he was like, he made a snide comment about, oh, I see Tempe's crayon mess didn't get cleaned up. And then starts, like, you know, putting away. And he's just huffing and puffing and just, you know, stomping around the kitchen a little bit and being rough about how he's moving stuff and this and that. So I'm just letting him go, and I'm letting him go and letting him go. And he's getting it all said and done, and he brings the placemats over so I can wash them off, and I'm doing the dishes, and I'm just do-do-do-do-do, because I've taken on this new mentality now of, unless he's doing something, like, just horribly wrong, like he's getting up in your business and, like, he's going to fight you or something like that, I'm not going to bark at him anymore. I'm just going to let him completely and totally put his foot so far in his mouth that it's coming out of his asshole and make a fool out of himself, and then let him embarrass himself.
Yeah.
Because I'm done, because he's not getting it when we try to explain it to him. Much like the math we were trying to help him with last week.
Yeah.
So, I let him do the whole thing. And when he was all said and done, I said, okay, I need you to stand there for just a second. And so he kind of stood there, and he was like telling me what he needed to go do. I'm like, no, you don't need to go do that. You need to stand right there, because that's what I've told you to do. Because we've also had this problem with all three of the kids, that you tell them to do something, and they automatically start moving before you've even finished the three words out of your mouth. And they start doing what they think you're going to say you want them to do. And it's not at all what you want. And then they get, like, mad at you. Like, well, you should have said this. It's like, no, you just need to listen. And so I just had him. I'm like, no, I said, you need to stand there. Listen to what I'm saying, not what you think I want, what you think you should be doing. And just stand there. And I would drive my hands off. And I turn around and look at him. And I laid the whole thing out to him. I said, I, your dad, Kinda of the castle, my queen is in the other room, I said that she did not need to clean up that crayon mess, and that she needed to go into the bathroom instead and get her shower, and then I asked you to do it because it was four fucking crayons and a coloring book that you could pick up. I said, and then you huffed and you puffed and you tried to blow the house down and you were the big bad wolf and you were stomping and da da da. I'm like, so you can be as pissed off at her as you want, but the reason these aren't cleaned up is not because she wasn't going to do it, because she was actually on her way to the table to clean them up. even if it did take you three times asking her, she was on her way to the table to clean them up when I sent her to the bathroom to take a shower. I overrode all of that. Because guess what? I'm fucking in charge and I get to do those things. I'm like, and I told you that I wanted you over there cleaning up the mess and you to take care of this. And I said, and frankly, I'm sick and tired of you bitching and whining and squawking about the fact that you have to go do something when you haven't had to clean this kitchen from stem to stern once since you've been here. Fuck, you haven't even washed your own bathroom yet once on your own. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of laid it in. I'm like, your workload is so light right now. But if you're going to continue to treat it like we're giving you this huge thing to do, then I'm going to run your ass, and I'm going to run it hard, and I'm going to make you do every little fucking thing, and you won't have a spare moment to yourself from the moment you get home to the moment you go to bed. It's going to be work, 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 work.
Well, and this is in the last couple of days, he's forgotten to put the trash out, forgotten to bring the trash cans in.
After we specifically told him,
yeah,
like I might get the trash and recyclables, take it out to the cans, then take the cans to the curb. Okay. Then I happen to be, thank goodness, at the damn kitchen sink, looking out the window, hear the trash truck, like, my cans aren't out. Fuck me. And then I had to throw on a pair of shoes real quick and go sprinting outside and get the cans out to the damn curb in time to make sure we didn't miss the pickup.
Again.
Yeah.
And then he forgot to bring them in, and the excuse he gave, he brought in two of the three, but he left the yard debris can, and he's like, well, it wasn't empty yet. I'm like, it was 7:30 at night.
Yeah. And I'm thinking that was the yard.
That was the yard debris truck that I heard. That we missed. Did
miss it, and then we didn't miss the trash ones because they came later on in the day.
Which, but he used that as an excuse, like, well, they were going to come pick it up later. Like, dude, yeah. No, they're not. And you know that because he used that excuse with me at the other house once. And I said, that's not after five. It's not a valid excuse anymore. Right.
Their business hours are Monday and Friday, 8 to 5. They're not going to be there anymore after that.
Yeah. He just hasn't really remembered to do anything that he's been asked to do. And it's really come down to, like, dude, he's responsible for his laundry and his brother's laundry, and not even all of Trent's. Like, I do about half.
But literally, it's just take whatever's in Trent's hamper upstairs, add it to yours, which makes one full washer load worth of clothing.
That's the part that I have not done for him. I take care of any laundry that's Trent's that gets left in the living room or the bathroom down here, I take care of. But if it's upstairs, I want him to grab it and bring it down and do it with his.
Yeah, because if nothing else, Trent loves to just strip naked wherever he happens to be at the point in time.
And then I ask him if there's laundry that's Trent's to be folded.
Mm-hmm.
I usually fold it and have him put it away. Right. Sometimes I ask him to fold it and put it away. And sometimes I do it all myself.
Yeah.
But in this case, there was a basket of Trent's laundry that needed to be folded and put away, and I didn't even remember this to get him to fix it, but this is what happened yesterday. Yesterday, after 3 days of asking him to do this basket of Trent's laundry, he finally got forced to sit down and do it.
Right.
He went upstairs, and everything that was supposed to be hung up, he threw on the bottom of the closet. He didn't hang it up.
Oh, really?
And then I had specifically told him that Trent doesn't have a lot of dresser space, so I hang up all his long sleeve shirts because it's not long sleeve shirt season yet, and I don't want them to clutter the drawer, and he'll pull out a long sleeve shirt on an 80 degree day, and so I have those hung up on the top rack so he can't get to them, and I specifically said, Ezra, make sure to hang up the long sleeve shirts, and he tucked them in with everything else, and then I went in to go grab something from one of the drawers, and he's got pajamas in the shirt drawer. He's got shirts in the pajama drawer. He's got shorts in the t-shirt. Like, it was just a hodgepodge of stuff. And I'm sitting here going, why do I even have him do it? But this is why he does it that way. Because he knows I'm going to see it messed up. And eventually, I'll just cave in and do it myself.
Right.
Because I put 18,000 times more work into showing him how to do it right, even though he already knows. Than just doing it.
But at the same time, if you don't stand your ground and force him to do it, you're not really teaching him anything. And so it's this, like, whole catch-22 double-edged sword thing. So the tactic that I've been taking with all the kids recently is just there have been no more warnings from me. And I haven't flipped out and I haven't yelled. But like today I asked the kids to do something. They didn't do it. And they sat down and opened up their DSs because that was more important. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, didn't I tell you to do this? Oh, yeah, we forgot. Well, you just forgot your way out of a DS then. Shut them down. And I ground them from the DS for the rest of the day. And so I'm just instant. There's no warnings. It's just an instantaneous revoking of some or all privileges to certain things. And I just, like this morning for breakfast, I had already, so I got up, I went to the store, grabbed a couple of things for breakfast, brought it back, was cooking it up, was going to make that hash brown thing that we like to make where they're super crispy and cheesy and whatnot. And I get it, although I've got the sausage all cooked up, we're good to go. I'm getting ready to mix the hash browns in and get those going just to open the cabinetry and realize, fuck, we don't have any hash browns. As we do the dehydrated ones. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll just do potatoes and make them into hash browns. We didn't have any potatoes left either. So I had to like scramble to make this, turn this from a hash to a scramble with the eggs and whatnot. And so I'm doing all that and I'm flying through it. Get it all cooked up, ready to go. Get the kids in there for breakfast, set it down. And I just looked at the two younger ones because they've been the most picky, finicky ones right now. And I said, this is breakfast. You so much as turn your nose up at it, and you're going to have an entire pile of it on your plate that you have to eat. And I don't care if you puke and have and throw, you'll just eat it again. I'm like, you will eat this. You'll enjoy it. You're going to have a nice full tummy. I'm not going to have crabby kids later. And I don't want to hear a goddamn fucking complaint about it. Is that clear? And they both kind of looked at me like, uh-huh. And they sat down, and then Trent, of course, being the smart one that he is, was like, oh, daddy.
Oh, this is so good.
Oh, this is so yummy. Oh, this is the best breakfast I've had all week. And I'm like, you little fucker. I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, you little bastard. You are playing it up just to make sure that you're the kid that, like, yeah, look, daddy, I put in the extra effort to make sure, you know, you son of a bitch. But they did, because they've been, like, stupid stuff. Tempe, like, I don't like that. Do you like scrambled eggs? Yeah. Well, do you like sausage? Uh-huh. Do you like bacon? Mm-hmm. Do you like cheese? Yeah. That's what that is. But it's all mixed together.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes. And I've watched you take, when I've made sausage and scrambled eggs and whatever separately, I've watched you take a stab of the egg, a stab of the sausage, and you stick it in your mouth and you eat it, which is fucking mixed together at that point. You're going to eat this. And, yeah, so I that whole thing had happened, and so it was just I'm so done with the complaining, and basically we've had a huge lack of appreciation for anything recently.
Yeah.
Like they just feel like they should just get everything, and they don't have to earn it. And then when you make them do something simple to earn it, they lose their fucking mind about it.
Yeah.
And like this morning, we had a little mini blowout with Ezra because I was trying to get him to help me with something. And finally, it got to the point where, well, so we got this old TV that we had, it was an old projection style TV, and it needed a new lamp replacement. We were holding on to it thinking we were going to get it fixed. We decided we were just going to scrap them both and recycle them. So we were pulling it out of the attic space and we're coming down the stairs with it. And he's trying to carry it down the stairs, which I give him all the credit in the world for wanting to do that, but he's making so much extra work for himself that when we're on the stairs right there, it literally will just slide down. And my only concern is I don't want it puncturing a hole at the drywall at the bottom of the stairs. So I'm trying to explain to him to stop picking it up and whatever, but he's so pissed off at the fact that he's having a hard time carrying it that he's not listening to me.
And that he's being expected to
carry it, yeah. And so finally I was like, that's it, get the fuck out of my fucking way so I can do this. And then I, from the top, the reason why I got so pissed off is I was holding the weight off of him so that it wouldn't, you know, go down the stairs and hurt him. And he kept, like, almost yanking it out of my hands because he was trying to do it the way he wanted to do it instead of listening to me. And it was hurting me physically. And I'm like, we got to the point where I want to let go of the TV and then just let it lop on him. I want to let this thing just land on him on the staircase. And maybe when he's splayed out upside down with a fucking projection TV laying on him, he might then get the point that he should have fucking listened and like, no, I don't need those hospital bills. So literally that was really the only thing that stopped me from doing it. It wasn't the fact that I would crush my kid with the TV. It was like, that's going to cost me too much fucking money. Because at that point, my kid deserved to be crushed by a fucking TV to learn a goddamn lesson. Because sometimes pain hurts. And I say that facetiously, but that was just like, I'm like, ah, goddamn it. So I move and I get out of the way. Then I send him upstairs to do something. And I hear him up there weeping. So I just happened to haul her upstairs. I'm like, is there any particular reason why you're crying right now? And he proceeded to tell me that the way I treated him just then made him feel like he couldn't do anything, which is what has been happening at his mom's house with her boyfriend and blah, 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 blah. And I was just being an asshole and this and that. And I took it all into, I listened to it and I heard it all. I said, okay, that's fine. I said, I apologize if I made you feel that way. Can you please finish up what I asked you to do and then come downstairs and we're going to talk about this. And so he did. He calmed down and came down. And then I just looked at him and I said, okay, here's the deal. Here's what I wanted you to do. I wanted you to let the TV slide down with me and just make sure I didn't hit anything.
But I was listening and you were saying, Ezra, just do the, you know, you were trying to get, and every time you got through the first sentence of saying, don't do this,
yeah,
and you were about to say, do this, he would say, but I can't hold it up. Like,
which I wasn't even asking him to do. And it's like,
that's not what I'm asking you to do.
Yeah.
But I can't do it. But that's not what I,
right.
He just wouldn't stop. He wasn't listening.
So, I explained to him, I said, all I wanted you to do was this so that it wouldn't put a hole in that wall there and then help me get around this corner. I wasn't expecting you to bear any of the weight as far as, you know, picking it up or whatever. I just wanted you to keep it from hitting whatever. And you wouldn't listen. Because you kept thinking you knew what I wanted and you were doing what you thought I wanted instead of doing what I'm asking you to do, which is something, this is something you do, it's something your sister does, and it's something your little brother does. Well, you either Jody or I will start talking, and you guys will do what you think we want you to do before you've even finished speaking, and it's the most rude and inconsiderate thing you could do, and nine times out of ten, you're always wrong. I'm like, so here's what I wanted you to do, and if you had just listened to me, it would have been that, you know, so on and so forth. And I said, now I'm sorry if me saying, get the fuck out of my way and let me do this, hurt your feelings or made you feel inadequate. I'm like, but quite literally, it was either do that or drop the TV on you. Which one did you prefer? Because you weren't listening, but I knew that you'd listen to. He's like, oh. I said, and also, if you ever compare me to that piece of shit trash that your mother is dating or was dating that she just broke up with and is kicking out of her house because he's a piece of shit trash again, we're going to have issues because I am such a far better man than he'll ever even remotely ever be able to be, that you cannot put me on the same level as him because that hurts me. That cuts deep that you would think that little of me.
Yeah, and but then, even saying that to you, I feel like was a manipulation of you.
Oh, I know it was. But
there's really no comparison even.
There's not, but that's why I immediately flipped it back onto him and like, no, you when you do that, that, you know, and then he felt like a complete shit heel about it and all that. So it's just, I will say I do now understand more of what my dad was going through in my teenage years when he thought I was a cocky son of a bitch. Because I, in some ways, I had some of the same tendencies that Ezra has, which is why I can usually be a little more chill about them, because I can find ways to navigate through all the weird thoughts he's having in his head as far as what he's perceiving versus what's actually happening. But it still doesn't change the fact that he's got to be careful when he starts running his mouth as to what he says, because you can't take those words back. And really, I know he doesn't really think I'm anything like this prick and whatnot, but I still want him to just get it through his skull that once something has left your mouth, you don't get, it's like putting a picture up on the internet. You don't get it back. You don't get, you know, take backsies or whatever. You can't change it. And if it's hurt somebody, all you can do is try to mend whatever you've done to hurt them and hope they don't hold it against you for the foreseeable future. But there's no way to ever make it go away. It just, it doesn't happen. And also, you're not living a life of slavery and solitude like you seem to think you are, and it's really not that bad. You know, I'm asking you, and I'm probably asking him more to do more than his friends are required to have done of them. Not his, yeah. Okay, his acquaintances at school, yeah, or whatever, because I remember that I was always felt like I was being required to do more than my friends would. Like Saturday would come up, the car was broken, I had to help my dad fix the car versus being able to go out and play right first thing in the morning. And I used to hate that shit, but now I look back on it and go, well, okay, it was a bummer that that happened, but it also taught me that when shit goes sideways, you get together as a group, family, whatever, you fix it, you get it taken care of, and then you have time to do whatever else. And sometimes you don't have that time, and you just got, it's life. And it's hard lessons to learn. But I just, I'm done. I'm over trying to explain it to him and talk to him about it because it's not working. So now I'm just going to give him enough leash to completely make a fool of himself and then go, now look, here's what you did. Here's what it looked like. You made a shit heel out of yourself. This has got to get embarrassing at some point. So why don't you just stop?
Yeah.
Just and stop.
I just feel like it's gotten so out of control with the woe is me stuff that I'm like, yeah, I've lightened the load as much as I can without literally making it so that I do everything for you. And I refuse to let you be, you know, a 18-year-old that leaves the house and can't do their fucking laundry or can't cook a meal.
Right.
Or like, that won't be me. I can't. And I won't. So you're going to learn how to do some things. You're going to learn how to do it without being shit about it. And until you do, then you're just going to lead a miserable life.
Right. And, you know, it's just the real crux of the lesson that all three of them need to learn is that if you would, the amount of time that you try to spend negotiating with us, if you just spent a fraction of that time doing the task, it would have been done.
Tempe's learning.
She is.
She bitched at me for probably about half an hour while you were gone, not last time, but the time before. Probably about half an hour, she told me she wasn't going to do her own put away her laundry because it takes so long and blah, blah, blah. And I stood my ground. I'm like, nope, you're going to do it. You're not going to do anything else until you do it. And, you know, I don't care if that means that you spend the entire day in your room. So I put her in there. Literally 5 minutes, she comes out. I'm done. I'm like, you're done. You realize you spent six times as long complaining about doing the thing that would take so long than you did actually doing the thing.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, it really wasn't that hard.
Yeah.
And now she doesn't bitch nearly as much. Now, I did notice she's trying to take shortcuts now that she wasn't before. Mm-hmm. She's not been hanging stuff up. She's been stuffing it into the closet area.
But that's all normal kid
stuff. That's normal kid stuff.
We can fix that.
Yeah. But at the very least, when I caught her doing it, she's like, yeah. And she fixed it. So it wasn't as big a deal.
Right. But. Well, it's getting to the point with Ezra right now that it's almost, for lack of a better term, it's getting scary at how much he refuses to accept reality.
Yeah.
And so something else I've done because, and this will not, I will not segue this into a political rant, but all your political views aside, I've made my points very clear in the past as to what I feel about the candidates in general, but especially one particular one. And Ezra, with some actual valid information to back it up, he is not a fan of Trump. And so, like, there'll be times where he'll do something where, like, you'll factually prove him wrong, and then he immediately will have those, like, those responses that you hear from these people that blindly follow a candidate for no reason other than the fact that, you know, it fits their particular viewpoint on life. Yep. And so I'll look at him and go, you keep building that wall, Ezra. Keep those dirty Mexicans out. And he gets his feathers so ruffled. I am not a fan of Trump. I would never vote for that bastard if I could vote for him. And blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, then stop acting like somebody who would vote for him because, or for Hillary in that case, because you're being presented with facts for why this person sucks so hard, or this thing sucks so hard, but you're still doing it anyways just because you heard or whatever somebody else, or because you feel that this fits your narrative, when really, whether or not it fits your narrative, it doesn't fit reality. The math issue last week.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to Monday when we get to have the final harrowing debate as to what it was. Because, like, he had these problems where he had to he had to either calculate distance or time or speed based off of whether he was given the distance. Basically, if you were given distance and time, you had to calculate speed. If you were given the other ones, you had to calculate it out, and then you had to come down to a determination of what basically A plus B equals C kind of thing. And you were given two of the three variables. You had to figure out the third based on what you were given, and you had to modify the equation accordingly.
But they were word problems. I'm not very good at math. But you put it into a word problem, and 9 times out of 10, I understand it a billion times better.
Right. Whereas with him, what happens with word problems is...
he gets caught up in the details.
Yeah, like, I walk into the kitchen, he's like, could an airplane go 240 miles per hour in 20 minutes? And I'm like... because it took my brain a second to process it, because he's working on homework. I'm in the middle of something else, and he didn't really... there was no lube. There was no warm-up. Like, he didn't, like, foreplay the conversation first. It was just ram it on in there and see how Dad took it. And my brain didn't take it very well. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? He's like, well, if a flame... could a plane, if it was flying, could it travel 240 miles in 20 minutes? I'm like, yeah, because you could get from here to Nevada... and I gave him some statistics about if you were in an F-16 fighter jet doing this speed, blah, 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 you can make it from here to here in X amount of time. I said, you say, yeah, in theory, yes, a plane could do that. Because in my head, you're asking a very open-ended question, because what kind of a plane? Is it a biplane? Is it the Wright Brothers plane? Because no, it's not going to go 240 miles in 20 minutes. That's going to take 20 years. So really, I need more fucking info, kid. And then it turns out, well, he had this word problem that said a plane goes 244 miles in 20 minutes.
In 20 minutes, what is its average miles per hour?
Right.
And I'm thinking that's a really easy problem.
Yeah, because you just work your way up from 20 minutes to an hour and do that multiplication and bada bing, bada boom.
But because the teacher didn't tell him to convert the number into a percent, a decimal before you divide it.
Well, it wasn't even that.
I'm very, very certain that the correct procedure was to convert that number, that 20 minutes, to a percent or a decimal of the hour that they were asking for.
Right.
Because if you do that, because he was saying the formula says you do this times this equals this. And he's right if you convert the number first. But he wasn't converting the number.
Yeah, well, the other thing, though, too, is that if you give a formula to Ezra in math, A plus B equals C, but you don't give him B, he doesn't realize that if you go A minus C, that will equal... he doesn't get the relation
right
to these unknowns. He's horrible at math. And yeah. I understand that because his mom is too. Mm-hmm. And he did not get my ability to calculate a math problem. So I really try to understand that. But what I'm trying to get him to understand is that, like, if you have the quadratic equation, A squared plus B squared equals C squared, but you're not always going to be given it in A squared plus B squared. Sometimes you're going to be giving the C squared and the B squared. You have to go determine A. They're going to shift the variables, and you have to know how to manipulate the equation. And it shows a failure of our overall educational system and how to understand basic principles of mathematics, that whatever you do to this side of the equation, you have to balance it out by doing something to this side of the equation, and how those things react to each other and whatnot. And so I'm trying to get him to understand that we're doing the same thing, but you're now taking a fractional chunk of the hour, and right, they want to know what the total distance is over the entire hour. You have to multiply up to get that,
right,
not divide down from what you're given. And he could not comprehend that.
Right. But he was trying to divide. He was trying to take the 244 divided by 20.
Right.
Instead of by percentage of the hour.
Right.
And it's like, no, that's the wrong answer. He's like, no, that's right. And I'm like, but because quote unquote, that's what he told us to do.
Right.
And I'm like, that doesn't make the answer right. Like, right, you missed something, because that is the complete wrong answer. Yeah. He's like, nope, that's what we're supposed to do. And so I ended up making a bet with him, because he got so dug into this. And I'm like, I'm not going to argue with you anymore. I'm going to prove my point. I'm going to make you put your money where your mouth is.
Right.
And because I want you to go, if you're going to do this, I want you to go in whole hog with full faith in your ability.
Yeah. Well, that's like, he had this one, it was like, somebody's riding a horse, and in 15 minutes, it was 25 minutes. It was a quarter of an hour, 25 minutes. So in 25 minutes, they traveled 1.5 kilometers. What's the distance they could travel in an hour? And because he had to force it into the way the equation was shown to him, he got 0.06 kilometers in an hour, which is less than the guy traveled in 25 minutes. And I'm looking at him like, he did 1.5 kilometers in 25 minutes. How is it he's only going to go 0.06, or, you know, 1/8, whatever, you can fractionalize it out. Like, that's far less than this. So you're telling me that he
went backwards?
Like, what the hell did he, like, was the fucking horse moonwalking for part of this distance? Like, what the hell is he doing? Because I don't get what, it's not possible. And I said, this is the simplest fucking problem ever. 25 minutes is 1/4 of an hour.
I think you mean 15 minutes.
Or 15 minutes, yeah, sorry. Okay. Yeah, that's what I meant. 15 minutes is 1/4 of an hour. I'm like, so you take that number and you multiply it by 4, there's the total distance traveled.
In an hour.
In an hour. Bada bing, bada boom, done. It's easy. Because you have 4 15 fucking minute increments where you have this one. And I will say that the way they word the problems is slightly confusing.
Sometimes they say, what's their average?
Yeah, like, what's the average this? I'm like, but you don't give us enough variables to do an average.
Yeah.
Because the way an average works, you take more than two or more things, and then divide, add those together, and then divide what you get there by the total number of things that you added, and that'll give you your average across all of those numbers. But if you're only giving me one number, there is no fucking average.
It's just how fast are they going? Right. They're going this fast.
And I think they do that on purpose to trick kids like him who can't fucking wrap their brains around it, which I think is ridiculous, because it's like, you're just doing this to fucking crunch some kid's head. And why don't we just try to, instead of, you know, making him feel like shit, why don't we just do this? But then it got to the point where he is so dug into this. I'm like, I did a slightly different tactic as you.
But no, on that problem, he looks at me at one point. He's so flustered, and I use this word not because I know it is not a real word. Now I can't talk. He was so frustrated.
Yeah, flustered and frustrated. Yeah.
He looked at me. He goes, "But a horse can't even go that fast." And I'm like, "What does that have to do with goddamn anything?"
But that's where I got him past it once, and somehow he's fallen back into the trap again. I'm like, that's where they get you with word problems. They will toss in 60 extra things that you have to. It doesn't matter what color Susie's hair was, or that she had just gotten it freshly cut and permed. What matters was she spent $25 on the cut and $35 on the perm, so therefore she spent this amount of money total on the whole thing. I don't care that it was a sunny 60 degree day in the middle of this day. None of that matters, but they do it for people like you who can't just break it down to the numbers. And see, I was the exact opposite. I used to get in fights with my teachers because I would just write the answer down. "Well, show your work." There is no work to show. And I would do that, and they're like, "Well, what do you mean?" And I'm like, "Well, okay, but here's this number. Here's that number. You add that to this. Here's the answer you get. Bada bing, bada boom. That is what it is. There is no work to show. You seriously want me to write down 35 plus 25 to show you that it actually does equal 60. I don't need to do that because I can add that in my head. And I'm looking at you right now saying, if I take 35 and I add 25 to it, I'm getting 60. That's what it is. So I'm not going to write my work down. And my dad used to get my, "Oh, you need to show." No, I don't. I don't need to show my, because I know what I'm doing. Or like if I was doing an algebraic problem, I wouldn't show each individual little itty bitty step. I'd be like, "Okay, I know this," and I, because the math that I could do in my head, I wouldn't write it out. It was, I would only write it out if I needed to actually visually see it in order to get to the correct answer. And that was that.
Well, did he do this with you? You're going through it, because we did this separately, because if we gang up on him, it just devolves super fast. I'd say, "Okay, so we need," and I had pencil and paper,
right?
And I'd say, "Okay, so we know they went this far, and we know, you know, that's this many of an hour," and blah, blah, blah. And I'm writing it down. And as I'm doing it, he's like, "Okay." And he's got a calculator. Like typing stuff in. I'm like, "We don't need the calculator yet. Like, we're writing down what we need to know."
Yeah, from the way he's hitting the buttons on the calculator, you would think he's figuring out the theory of relativity, and he's working out the final formula to get the flux capacitor working, because there are so many buttons being mashed here. You're like, there aren't even that many numbers in the... You take all the numbers on the entire sheet here and add them up, and you still wouldn't need to push the button that many fucking times. Are you just drawing boobs over and over, like, 8008 at 5, over and over and over again in the calculator? I mean, I don't get what you're doing here. There's no, he was, and then, like, it would give him, like, an error one, or, like, because he was mashing so many buttons, it, like, at one point, it gave him, like, hieroglyphics. I'm like, "What the hell did you push?" He's like, "I don't know. I just added the equation." Obviously not. It's speaking Egyptian to you right now. All right. I think he just figured out the code to get into King Tut's tomb.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Because, like I said, I'm not a math whiz. There's a lot of stuff I don't get. But word problems, time, distance, percentages, I'm really good at that stuff. And I knew for a fact what I was saying was accurate.
Yep. So now the only thing I could think of on the one problem, the 1.5 kilometers, whatever, if they're wanting him to express that 1.5 kilometers, if he averaged it out over the course of an hour at that same rate, then it would, the 0.006 whatever would work out. Like if you took it, but that's not what the problem said. No. And so there's something missing somewhere, and I'm just trying to figure out what it is. And I'm pretty sure it's something that either was missing from the workbook and the teacher gave him extra, mm-hmm. and or there's a flaw in his, whatever it is. I'm waiting for Monday to figure it out so we can sit there and figure out who won the bet. But what I did was I got so pissed off. I said, okay, fine. You're not willing to listen to reason. You're not willing to listen to logic. So I'm gotten to the point now where I don't care. Flunk your math. Flunk that thing. Get bumped from whatever year it is. Have to retake this. You may have to retake the whole grade again. At this point, you've got me so pissed off that you're not even letting me speak to you and explain to you what's going on, because you just know that I'm wrong because I couldn't possibly know how to do math because I wasn't in this person's math class at this time with you. That I, if you had to take seventh grade all over again, I would be totally okay with that.
Yeah, and then I left the
room
too.
And I left the room and gave him the cold shoulder. Yeah. And he was trying to ask me questions. I'm like, no, I'm done talking to you.
Well, I think we're probably going to have to take the we're not helping you approach. You figure this out based on what you know so you can prove to the teacher what you know, because that way, if you don't know it, he'll know that you don't know it, and right. he'll help you fix it. Because right. we aren't teachers. Like, I don't, it's not that I mind helping. I actually like helping with homework. It's something I've always looked forward to as a parent. It's there's not any learning going on. There's just right. writing.
Well, there is.
We're not filling in any educational gaps.
Well, it's not even that. It's that, and this is the part that I really hope that at some point in time we can cure him of this issue, because it's going to cause him so much grief in his life. And it's something that I battle with professionally and other spots in my life, and it drives me up the damn wall, is that I don't care if that teacher has 422 different letter designations behind his name for all the degrees and accoutrements, whatever. That doesn't mean shit to me. What matters to me is, can you actually apply said knowledge and make it work in the real life environment? Meaning, yeah, this person might be your teacher. That's all fine and dandy. But just because he's teaching you math doesn't mean I don't know math, because I don't have yeah. the same whatever. And just because, you know, and it's like, at work, there's been this, we got this guy that's got a marketing degree now, and I work very closely with him, and he and I get along great, and we've gotten a lot of stuff pushed through that I've been trying to get pushed through for years now, but because I didn't have an MBA in marketing behind my name, obviously it was not a good idea. Mm-hmm. So now what I've started doing is, hey, so-and-so, I think we should do this. And every once in a while he'll go, yeah, but we should tweak it and do these few things because of this. I'm like, oh, that's actually a very good point. Yeah, I'm cool with that. But a lot of times he'll take my stuff and go, oh yeah, that's a great idea. Why haven't we done this yet? I don't have an MBA behind my name. So could you go do that for me, please? And he'll kind of chuckle and go, yeah, I'll get it taken care of. And then it gets pushed right on through. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why do I have to have some big fancy degree to prove that just because I know my focus is over here with what I've done with my career and what the skills that I've applied, my background's IT. I work on computers. I can still go out and fix my car. I'm not an ASE certified mechanic, but God damn it, if I blow an alternator, I need to pull it out and fix it. I can do that. If I get a code in the computer in the car, I can pull up my code reader and go, oh, the O2 sensor's out, and replace it. Mm-hmm. I can do a lot of the things that an ASE certified mechanic can do, even though I'm not certified as a mechanic, just as much as people who are certified in my field can't do a half of what I'm not quote unquote certified for, because they don't have any of the experience that I have. And so he's very much of that mindset of, well, if you're not a person who has this position of authority for whatever reason, whether you've got a degree or you've been hired as a teacher, there's no possible way you could have any of this knowledge. So you're not worth my time.
And I'm used to that. He has been treating me like I don't know shit forever. That's his MO with me is you don't know what I know.
Right.
And so I'm really used to that kind of dynamic. And I think I'm giving up. I think it's official. I'm giving up on helping with homework. Like if he can't prove that he knows it, then the teacher needs to know that he doesn't know it.
Right.
And I'm going to let it go.
Yeah. I think that's what I'm going to go with too, is that we're going to stop trying to do the homework with him. Yeah. And I'm just going to start shooting emails to the teacher.
Yep.
Hey, I saw Ezra struggling with this last night. He refuses to let me help because I couldn't possibly know what you know. So I'm just letting you know that if he fucks this up royally, here's why. Could you please assist him on it?
I'm gonna write him a letter, just a general email, just so you know, we're not refusing to help him. He's refusing to listen.
Us. Yeah.
And I think we're gonna officially, for the sake of our family sanity, we're gonna officially say he's doing his homework all on his own. But it's so that he can prove what he knows. And he might have a suggestion. Can fall
flat on his face and hopefully shake himself up to a point where he realizes, oh,
yeah,
we don't. You know, mom and dad aren't so dumb after all, kind of thing.
And I'm hoping that he just needs some time to get back into the swing of, you know, having work and having to remember what the teacher said earlier and all that jazz. But he's already missed two recesses this week because he can't remember to have a sign his planner every day, which I don't agree in having to do that, but whatever.
I'm of the exact opposite now. This guy being militant on something like this is actually exactly what he needs, not coming from us.
Yeah.
Because the stuff he's being militant about is not, like, for example, the horrible third grade teacher he had who was militant about the fact that all men suck because her husband left her or whatever the problem was. I don't know what the issue was. That was the wrong thing to be militant about. But this guy is saying, no, I said my expectations were this and you didn't do this. You've now lost recess. And having that come from an external force, I think is probably one of the best things he can have right now to go, no, you were supposed to do this. You didn't do this. I don't care that you forgot. You're no longer getting recess now. And I was like, oh, so I'm not the only person that says that, Ezra. Look, there's other people in your life that have expectations of you too. And when you let them down, they're just as disappointed as I am. And they want to punish you just as badly, or they do punish you, blah, blah, blah. So, maybe I am right. So, and I love the kid. And that's the thing is that he's so smart.
I know this whole episode's been kind of bitch about Ezra, but he's been on his A game the last couple of days, and it's been really hard.
Yeah, it's something that you deal with when you're parenting. Each kid finds, it seems to be that each kid finds their own thing to be difficult about.
Yeah.
And some things are less frustrating than others. Like, we've come to the conclusion, like, Temperance and her shoes, as ridiculously stupid as it is, we just buy her this one kind of shoe now, and then whenever she complains about a sliver, well, if you'd start wearing these shoes, you wouldn't have that problem. And then she shuts up about it. It's like, yeah. That's what I thought. And so we've just found a way to deal with that particular problem.
Right. But we've been really good about picking our battles.
Yeah.
It's just that everything feels like a battle
with him right now. Yeah.
I mean, there's no picking because everything is. Yeah. Like, there's no, like, I'll let this go because it's everything we do. And, you know, I tried to extricate myself from the homework issue. You tried to extricate yourself from the homework issue, but he kept reeling us back into it.
And we don't want to let him flounder and fail, but maybe that's what he needs to do
At this point, it's what he needs. So, as harsh as that sounds, and I don't want him to fail. I want him to do well. But I can't even begin to imagine. This is the first 2 weeks of the year where they're really just reviewing what they should already know.
Right.
And he's already struggling so much with it. It just makes me very worried for the rest of the year. So I think we have to draw the line in the sand now before we get completely in.
No, and I totally agree with that. And to use an overused term, he literally has a literal worldview. Like, I have never met somebody that everything is so black and fucking white with it is with him. Like, there is no possibility for any type of compromise or gray area. It's either this or it's binary. Everything is binary for him.
Well, he yelled at Tempe, I've got the iron behind the couch on the little table that we have behind the couch, and she touched it. And he yelled at her. He snapped at her. Yeah. Don't touch the iron! And I'm like, what is wrong? Well, it could be hot. Like, well, I suppose it could be, but I generally don't leave a hot iron, like, within an inch of somebody's head. Like, there's just the level.
It's been temporarily put here as we're organizing this other section.
Like,
it's not hooked up. It's not plugged in.
But he freaked out about it. Or, he called me. He had a club meeting on Wednesday, and up at the school there's no cell service, and I'm pulling in and I had like one bar, and I'm getting this call from this weird number. I'm like, hello? He's like, well, so did you forget about me again? And I'm like, I'm in the fucking driveway of the school. Well, you're late.
By 2 minutes.
By two fucking minutes.
And it's not even that we're late. It's that they said the class ended at 4:15. You were there at 4:17, yeah. Which in reality gives him enough time to
pack up his bag
and make the 2 minute walk outside. And well, they ended it early. That's not our problem.
Yeah.
And it's like because he's experiencing something a certain way.
But he's pulling this all back to one time when I kind of spaced out what time I was supposed to get him, and I was about 10 minutes late to pick him up.
Right.
That's it. All traces back to something that happened like literally 5 years ago. And so every time I'm a minute late, you forgot about me again. Like, I can see if it's happened a lot. I would say the same thing, but for the love of God, it's been 5 years.
No, I would like to. I would like to just leave here the class while I go get my nails done. But alas, I am your mom. I cannot do that. So well, here I am and here you are.
Good day, sir. Well, the club is optional. This is not something he has to do. And I was just like, for a split second, I'm like, I guess we don't need to have this club then, since, you know, I'm going to forget you all the time.
Right.
Because it's something extra that I have to do.
Or one of us has to go pick him up from it. There is no busing after
and
the fact.
And 9 times out of 10, it's going to be me.
Oh, yeah.
So it feels like, you know, if I was asking one of my parents to make an extra special trip once a week to take, you know, 30 minutes out of their day, I might be a little more considerate about it.
Right? Yeah, the consideration for others, that's what he's lacking right now. And that's like empathy, right? Empathy is kind of like consideration. Or is it?
Yeah.
It's not sympathy, it's empathy.
Yeah.
Having understanding that other people might have had external or extenuating circumstances that might have been what helped cause your inconvenience.
Exactly.
So
it was one of those weird, like, because I remember actually when I was in right around his age, actually exactly his age, when I was in seventh grade, my mom pulled me out of school to homeschool me, but I was still in the band. So I went to the band. I rode the bus in the morning to the band, and then she was supposed to pick me up after band and take me home. But she would often either forget or get delayed. My mom is a very time fluid person.
You think the doctor doesn't care about time and it's all wiggly woggly timey wimey stuff. This woman has no concept of time. She'll tell you 2 o'clock in the afternoon and show up at 4:30 the next day. You're like, it was yesterday at 2. Yeah, you're only 2.5 hours late if it would have been today, but technically that makes you 26.5 hours late. But wait, who's counting?
Exactly. So it was very common for me to just be hanging around waiting for my mom a lot. I don't think I ever threw a fit about it. It just was a thing. And maybe it's because I was used to it.
Right. And that might be part of it, too, because I am so anal about being on time to stuff that he's grown up used to me being that way. And so it's hard for him when things are a little bit...
I know that could be it, except I would rather see him think, oh, well, most of the time we're on time. Every now and then everybody gets to make a mistake.
Right.
But instead, he takes the tag of, well, I'm always on time, so everybody else should be on time all the time. And it's like, well, see, that's not realistic.
Now that you said that...
That's what you say.
No, it's clicked with me that this almost might be a genetic issue. And I'm not even joking. His biological grandfather on his mother's side is very much like that. He never does anything wrong. Now, you so much as sneeze wrong around him and he'll call you on it. But like the day that my ex was born, he was out golfing with his buddies. Knowing that she was being born, he knew this was all going on, but the golf game was more important. But then when they were in the... He was in the room with her, and my ex's mom did something that he thought was not quite right as a mother thing to do, like called her to the carpet and on his like an asshole about it, like, oh, you just fucked that up, and she's like, you literally weren't here for her birth, and you're going to, like, I'm holding her wrong or whatever it was, right? And now that you just said that, I'm like, there's got to be, like, a gene or something. Like, there's some chromosome we don't know about. It's the asshole chromosome. They have no way of understanding that they're just as messed up as the rest of us are, and we all make mistakes. But in their head, they're always perfect, and everybody else is all messed up. I'm like, I can blame my ex for that. No. A really long way to find something to blame her for. No,
along those lines, and don't take this the wrong way, you literally have said that I'm always on time. Why can't everybody else be on time? You have literally said that.
But I literally am always on time.
Bullshit.
When there's not an extenuating circumstances, I'm very.
I had extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, I'm not saying you were wrong for what you were doing there. No, I just, you know.
Just saying, I think he gets a lot more of his asshole-ish behavior from you than you give him credit
for. No, I don't deny that at all. But I, you know, at the same time, the complete, like, if you can prove me, like, if you look at me and go, dude, seriously, and I will go, oh yeah, okay. Like, there was that weird thing that, it was some stupid, like, oh, bless you. Sorry, the dog had a sneezing fit there. Like, we were arguing over who was in a movie or wasn't in a movie or whatnot, and I was damn sure that this person wasn't in it or was or whatever. Anyways, we have the Google. We used the Google. We figured it out. I was wrong. I go, oh, well, you were right. Okay, I'm sorry. And I moved on. He's not capable of doing
right.
that. He'll find a way to go, oh, well, the reason why is because she kind of looks like this person who once was, you know. He will argue his way out of it to try to go, well, the reason why. I was okay to be wrong because I thought this instead of this. And it's like,
yeah, no. But he will actually argue that the thing you're quoting is wrong.
Right.
Well, IMDb must be wrong. Right.
Yeah.
So.
Once again, build that wall, buddy. Build that wall.
I've got a ripping headache.
I think I know, we're wrapping up. We need to go. No, I was actually, I've got it all pulled up here right now so we can.
I know that sounds really weird, and I normally don't say anything on the show, but it just hit me really hard.
Yep. So we are, speaking of ripping headaches, no, yeah. That was not bad. It's a horrible segue.
Yeah.
No, we're a member of the Podcast Collective. On the Collective, you can find amazing shows besides ours, because, you know, ours is awesome, but there are other awesome podcasts out there, too. And some of the shows, or not some of the shows, those shows are our show, of course, On the Block, No Hope for Humanity, The Coffin Joe Cast with Kill Wilbut and Joel, The Sunshine Happy Pants Hour, also with Joel, 40 Going on 14, Joel again. This dude's all over the network. Dating Baggage, The Internet with Scott the Pool Boy, I Am Salt Lake, Minton Boxcast, Tales from the Hard Side, The Dog and Deuce Show, Empty Rant Podcast, and The Rad Dad Radio Hour. So, check out those other shows if you haven't done it yet. There's a lot of great stuff on there, and we're actually starting to work into this whole commingling and cross promoting and whatnot. I was just recently on 40 Going on 14. This most latest episode they're getting ready to release that's going to drop before ours, so I'm cool to say this on right now, is going to have Scott the Pool Boy on it. So they're doing a kind of a crossover there. And then in a week or so, I'm going on to the Rad Dad Radio Hour and doing a crossover there. And then he's going to come on our show here soon. So we're now getting to the point where the network has grown enough, so now we can all start helping each other out and guesting on each other's shows and mixing the audiences and whatnot. And so that's coming to fruition. Also, if you want to get a hold of us, leave us a voicemail like Eric did. You can do so by calling 503-609-0375, or you can use that fancy pants voice recording app on your cell phone like Slacker likes to do, and record it and then email it to grounded@badparentingpodcast.com. We are available on all forms of social media, including MySpace. If you just do a search for Bad Parenting Podcast, you'll find us there. We have merch, so if you go to our website and click the merch link, we have t-shirts and sweatshirts and cell phone cases and all sorts of fun stuff that's got our different logos and things on it. Buying merch helps the show. If you buy the merch, we get a kick of the proceeds. We use that to help better the equipment we use in the show, so on and so forth.
I have one ask for the for our little micro nation.
Mm-hmm.
Tempe and Ezra's fun run for school is next week, and they do. I don't know if anybody's familiar with a fun run, but you pledge a certain amount per lap that the child will then run. And I am asking in their honor for donations of their lap.
And that can be PayPal. So if you want a PayPal donations on that, let me know. I'll get you my PayPal email address. And if you want
to... They win prizes, yo.
But if you want to hedge your bets and you want to save some money, you can go higher per lap on Ezra because he'll guaranteed do less laps. But there was one person who Tempe totally made eat their words when they put down like a she's only gonna do X number of laps. I'll put down like $10 a lap, she just kept going and going and going.
She's like 21 laps.
Yeah, and the person's like, "She what?" I'm like, "Yeah, but so you get," and I will give them to their credit. They coughed up all of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, but it was kind of like the first nerd. They're like, "No, she did." Oh, well, I did commit to that, so here's the check for it, and it was just funny. So, and I say that to be facetious. Ezra can actually do quite a bit, too, when he puts the mind to it.
They'll both do fine. Yeah. There's also, obviously, the flat donation.
Yeah, you can do a flat donation, too. So if you don't want to do the per-lap thing, you can just do a flat donation.
And we don't have a lot of family to ask, so I'm putting it out to our broader family here.
Exactly. So if you guys would like to donate, let us know. Like I said, I'll get you a PayPal email address. We can do that, too. That's that. And
like I said, I'm pretty heavily involved in setting the whole fun run thing. And, the coolest part is that all the money goes directly to the school. There's no middleman. There's no setup costs. I mean, this is
not just, like, you know, we're selling donuts and you're going to get 25 cents for every donut, $10 we spend or whatever. And
so all the money goes right to the kids and we make it count. So
exactly. So yeah, if you want to donate to that, send us an email, let me know. I'll get you the PayPal information. We can do that. Otherwise, unless you have something else to add, babe.
Nope.
All right. Until next time, try not to be shitty parents.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Bad Parenting Podcast, a conversational show about all aspects of parenting, the good, the bad, and the smelly.
It's all done now. Here it goes.